I want to speak to you briefly this morning about the birth of Jesus Christ into the world. Christmas time is a time when people enjoy themselves and have fun. Or at least some people seem to think that getting drunk is fun. I've never seen the pleasure in it myself. But it's a time generally when people enjoy themselves and when they give and receive presents. You're all giving presents this Christmas, aren't you? Right, well, I can see that some mums and dads are going to lose out. But those of us who remember the birth of Jesus at this time of year tend to remember the events that took place when Jesus was born and forget what it meant. And so there is a tendency, because people have forgotten its significance and its meaning, to over-sentimentalise his birth. Thinking, oh, isn't it nice when a baby is born? But they don't think about who he is. I want to speak very briefly this morning from Hebrews chapter 1. Let me just read a few verses for you from Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And what this is saying is that throughout the Old Testament, before Jesus was born, God spoke to people. He spoke in various different ways. He spoke through dreams. People had a dream. You all, I expect, know about Joseph. You probably know the slightly distorted story, Joseph and his amazing technicolor dream coat. Not quite accurate. But in it, God spoke to Joseph. He spoke to Pharaoh through dreams. Sometimes it was through visions that people had. Other times, God would speak to a prophet, and then the prophet would tell the people what God had said. But he says, that's what God did in the past. He says, God hasn't done it like that now. God isn't going to do it like that anymore. This is how God's going to do it. God's going to speak to us through one very special person. He's going to speak to us through his Son. Now, in the Old Testament, we have a revelation of God. We learn about God. One of the ways in which we know about God, if you want to learn about God, to see what God has said and done in the Old Testament. But for example, God revealed himself to Moses in the Old Testament. And God appeared to Moses. And at one point God said to Moses, you shall not see me face to face, because if you do, you will. Does anybody know the story? What would happen if God, if Moses saw God face to face? Anybody know? You would die. Moses would die if he saw God face to face. So God said, I will put you in this niche in a rock, and I will cover it over with my hand, and then I will walk past you, and then you will be able to see my back. Because he mustn't see God's face or he would die. But in the New Testament, God has sent his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to reveal what God is like. So we can see him as a person. So we can see him living in the world. So we can see how he reacts to people, what he does to people, how he responds to people. Some people say that God is a God of love and nothing else. Well, Jesus shows us that isn't true. Jesus shows us that God is a God of love, but he's more than a God of love. Some people say that God is a stern man. God is angry and God will punish everybody. Well, that's partly true, but it's not completely true. We know God is an angry God because Jesus died on the cross and was punished by God for your sins and their sins and my sins. So God is an angry God and God will punish sins. But he's more than an angry God because he's also a God of love. And Jesus also shows us that because Jesus came and took the punishment that we deserve, the punishment that all of you deserve, for all the naughty things you've ever done, for all the naughty things some of you have done this morning and your mums and dads don't know about them yet. He also took the punishment for all your parents and your grandparents and uncles and aunts' sins. And he was punished for them. And so he shows us that God, as well as being an angry God who must punish sin, is a God who is a loving God and takes the punishment upon himself. Now, there was a film on the television last night. I didn't see very much of it because it was on rather late, so none of you will have seen it. One or two of the adults might have seen it because it didn't start until about 1:45 this morning. But in this film, there was a man sitting at home in front of his radio, because they didn't have television then, they made this film, sitting in front of his radio, and this voice came over on the radio. And the voice said, "This is God. I am going to help you for the next few days." And everybody thought, "Wow." Some people said, "This can't be true." Other people said, "Wow, this is great." But does God need to speak to us through a radio? Because if God could only speak to us through a radio, what about the people that lived 200 years ago? They didn't have radios then. What about people that lived 1,000 years ago? Or 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born? Problem. Wonder how many of you have ever seen an ant's nest. Anybody know what an ant's nest is like? You know what an ant is? You know those little things that go around? Lots of legs. They can sting. And they often carry around great big white eggs. You've all seen them, I expect. Well, suppose you saw this ant's nest. Perhaps you saw an ant hill. Sometimes you get big ant hills. And you saw there was a dam that was about to burst and it was going to flood everywhere. There were no people there to worry about, but you were really concerned about these ants. You used to enjoy going to look at these ants. Can't imagine why, but children are children. And so you don't want the ant's nest to be destroyed. You want the ants to be saved. What do? Go running up to the ant hill and say, "Hey, there's a flood coming. You'd better get out." Do you think they do anything? Why not? Because they're deaf, because they're stupid. But don't understand English. Ah, oh, right, who can speak French? Right, so you speak it in French. Would that work? No? How about German? Chinese? No? What language do you think we need to speak to them in? Ant language. How many people speak ant? No one. But you've got another problem as well. How are you going to get them all together in one place to speak to them? You're not small enough to get into the anthill to go running around and telling them, are you? There's only one thing you can do to communicate to them properly. You've got to become an ant. Yes, you need a magician. Turn yourself into an ant so you can go around and tell them and warn them. That's the only way you could communicate to them so they would understand. Well, of course, that's what God has done. God is all-powerful. God is infinite. God is beyond our comprehension. But in order to help us understand, God became a little baby to help us to understand what he's like, to teach us the truth about God. And in Jesus Christ, we have a full and complete revelation of what God is like. Even in his name, tells us something about God. His name is Jesus, Jehovah Sus, is the Hebrew, and it means Jehovah who saves. And Jesus, by his name, tells us that he came to save us from our sins. But there's something else about this. There's something amazing. Something else this passage that I read tells us. It says that Jesus Christ made all things in the world, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. So that means that when he was born, this little baby, I don't mean this doll, I mean Jesus when he was a baby, when he was lying in that manger, was the one who had created everything, you and me, the whole world, the moon, the sun, all the stars, everything was made by this baby. That's amazing. But not only that, he upholds the world by his word of power. So as a little baby, Jesus Christ was keeping everything together. If it wasn't for the fact that Jesus Christ was doing this now, we'd all cease to exist. We'd just vanish. Not even in a puff of smoke. We'd just cease to exist. It's only because God, in Jesus Christ, wills us to continue to exist, that we continue to exist, we continue to live. It's only because of God that we're alive now, only because of him that we continue to live. He sustains us. He upholds us, even when he was a little baby. That is amazing. It tells us something about the nature of Jesus Christ, how powerful he was. But why is it that such a person as Jesus Christ should come into the world? Well, as I said, it's to show us God's love and God's righteousness. God is a righteous God. God has standards. God has a law which he requires us to keep. Now, how many of us today or in the last week have broken our own standards? How many of us say it's wrong to do that? And then 5 minutes later, we've done the same thing, we've thought the same thing, and it's wrong, and we condemn it in other people, so we must condemn it in ourselves. And our standards are way short of God's standards. And God is a righteous God, and he says, you've done something wrong, you must be punished. And that sin ultimately will be punished in hell. Whatever the Bishop of Durham says, you can ignore him. He's a dishonest, wicked man. There is a place where God will punish people. But there is a way to be delivered from hell, from sin and all its consequences. And that is through that baby who was born in Bethlehem, who went and lived and died upon a cross, and on that cross was punished for our sins. It's his work on the cross that means we can be delivered from hell, that we can be forgiven for all our sins. We can know God's peace and God's joy and God's love in our hearts. But it's only if we will listen to what God says and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to him. This baby that was born was God. This baby that was born is the sustainer of all things. He is the one who keeps all of us alive. He came into the world to reveal the truth to us about God. Came to make clear to us the truth about sin, your sin, my sin, the things that will take us to hell. But he also came to die for our sins. And all we have to do now in order to enjoy that forgiveness is to listen to what he said and obey him. What he tells us to do is to submit to him, to believe in him, to surrender to his will, to trust in him. And if we do that, and when we do that, he will forgive us immediately and give us peace and joy. One day he will come again. One day he will judge the world in righteousness. One day he will judge you and me. What is he going to be on that day? Is he going to be our Saviour, whom we are looking forward to coming, or our judge, whose coming we dread? All we have to do to look forward to his coming is to turn away from our sins, put our trust in him, submit to him, and we will know that forgiveness that God offers to all who believe in him.